Either have your Bibles, remember the book of Matthew, the second chapter, begin with the 16th verse. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. This is the topic on today. They are killing the babies. They are killing the babies. When I look at this passage of scripture, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Things that have happened are things that will happen. And sad to say that we see the same type of atrocities taking place now that took place in the time of Christ Jesus our Lord, and even during the time of Moses. There is an assault on killing innocent babies, killing innocent children. And the sad part about it is that we see the same type of consent being played out now as back then. Herod was king, and Herod was the one who sent forth the decree that all the children 2 years and younger should be killed. Well, we find that this year is the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, where they legalized abortion in the United States of America. And in doing so, the President Obama of the United States of America celebrated that event. This is what he says. Say, tonight we celebrate the historic Roe versus Wade decision handed down 40 years ago. But we also gather to recommit ourselves to the decisions guiding principle. Here is the leader of the land that's okaying the slaughter of children that's in the womb. Children that have done nobody any wrong, children that are not offended or hurt anyone, but they're okaying the slaughter of them. And the thing about that, now this is where I am. I know that they passed Roe versus Wade, and in some states they've made it a little tougher to get an abortion than in other states. Some states, they said that the only time you can have an abortion is in the case of rape, incest, or the threat of the life of the mother. Mother's life is in jeopardy. Rape and incest is not a justifiable reason to kill a child. You find about there are instances where women were taken advantage of. The daughter of David was raped by her half-brother. But she didn't kill the child. She didn't say, oh, Lord, woe is me. What am I going to do? Tamar went to Judah and played the role as a prostitute and had a child. But she didn't kill that child because, you know what? It was illegal. It was something wrong. It was immoral. She kept that child. The Bible gives plenty of instances where people who had children that was not what you would say was the right way, but they kept those children. I thank God for my mother. My mother were 12 of us. And you know, people now talking about, well, they need to abort those children so they can have a successful life and so they can have a career and have all these other things. My mother had all 12 of her children and abort a single one. And all of us, to some degree, have successes in life. Nurses and money managers and different other things. Why? Because our mother and father saw the need that every child that's in that womb is an important child, and no child should be wasted. We have folks at the top supporting the slaughter of innocent children that's in the womb. And I don't care what anybody in here say, every single one of you got your start from your mother's womb. Every single one of you. So none of us can say that's a bad place to start. It's a good place to start because that's the place that God created for you to start. The thing that really perturbs and disturbs me is that that they just had a trial for Dr. Kermit Gosnell, an abortionist who's on trial in Philadelphia for 70 counts of first-degree murder. They said this doctor would actually kill babies. Some of the babies he killed said he made this statement in a joke. One of the babies that he killed said, "This baby's big enough to walk around with me or walk me to the bus stop." Babies that were born, that he would actually take, and babies were born alive and clipping the spinal cord on the back of their necks. Men were actually killing babies that were born alive. Why? Because we in this country have become barbaric. We're savages when we kill our own babies. And nobody is saying anything about it. They protested about jobs. I don't have a job. They're protesting about these other things. But when it comes to that baby in their womb, who is speaking up for that child? Who's speaking up saying that child has a right to live just like you have a right to live? The only person that gives life is God. If God gave that life, then you have no right to take that life. There was another doctor who they're going to try now, doctor in Houston, a doctor, Douglas Coppin. They say he's accused by four former employees of delivering live babies during the third trimester and killing them. And one of the witnesses said what he would do, he would go there, babies that was born alive, and would take the babies and twist their heads, breaking their necks, snapping their necks. These little innocent born babies, and those that are saying, a woman has the right, a woman has the right. The minute that baby's in that womb, you give up your right to destroy that child. Well, you a man saying that. No, I'm not. I'm saying what the Word of God says. The Word of God speaks up in life that God gave it, and that child said. And a lot of us didn't come up in the most fortunate situation. Some of our moms were crack addicts. Some of our mamas were prostitutes. Some of our daddy sold drugs and did numbers and other dead things. Some of our dads are locked up in prison and jail. But that doesn't change the fact that your life is just as valuable. Amen. As anyone else's life. Your life is not determined by who your mama or who your daddy is. Your life is determined by who God says that you are. For the Bible says that all souls are mine. All souls are mine. This thing is really, really tragic when you start breaking it down and see what it's done to the African American community. They said Margaret Sanger was the one who was responsible for getting abortion legalized and one of the ones that made it really popular, made the statement that she didn't want the black people to know that they were going to set up these abortion clinics in these black neighborhoods, these black communities, these urban settings. She was the one. And a lot of folks are just gravitating towards her, trying to make her as though she was some great person. She's the one responsible for a lot of these black babies being aborted because they said that she wanted to have blacks exterminated. And so you got folks congratulating and celebrating the extermination of black children and black babies. Let me read you some of the statistics that speak to these issues and where we are and things that are happening that we need to be aware of. First of all, Martin Luther King to say this right here so we can understand the times that we're in. Martin Luther King said this right here. The Negro cannot win as long as he is willing to sacrifice the lives of his children for comfort and safety. How can the dream survive if we murder the children? Every aborted baby is like a slave in the womb of his or her mother. The mother decides his or her fate. Martin King, Dr. Martin Luther King said that we as a people can't survive if we kill our babies. That's right. And some of us think that, no, it's my choice, my decision for me to make. According to the 2010 census data, talking about the African-American community, say African-Americans make up 12.6% of the U.S. population, but 35.4% of all abortions in this country are committed by us. 35.4%. of the statistics. In 2009, 286,623 blacks died in the United States. If you apply the numbers to the 1.21 million abortions that took place in the United States, at the same percentage, there were more people, blacks, that died from abortions than folks that died walking around living. This is a tragedy that's taking place in our country. But no one is crying out. A lot of folks aren't crying out for those innocent babies. They think their lives are expendable. We must make a difference because they're killing the babies. Black women are more than 4.8 times more likely than non-Hispanic white women to have an abortion. 4.8 times more likely. I read in one report, they said that at the current rate we're going now, one third of American women will have an abortion. Look around, every third woman, they say, will have had an abortion at the current rate that we are going. They're killing the babies. This is the part that's really sad about it. 37% of women obtaining abortions identify themselves as Protestant. And 28% identify themselves as Catholic. In other words, there are folks in the church. The numbers in the church are just like the numbers of the folks in the world. We're having abortions at the very same rate that the people in the world are having abortions. And this thing should not be, especially when we know what the Word of God says. So we can stop killing the babies. Psalm 71:6 says this: By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. In the Psalms, it says that's where the baby comes from. That's where the baby is. In the book of Jeremiah, the chapter 1, it states that before I formed thee in thy mother's belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee and called thee out to be a prophet to the nation. God is saying before you were even born of your mother, before your mama even gave you a name, before you started saying dad, dad, my mom, before you even started sucking on your mother's breast, God said he knew you before then. See, your mama and your daddy, that's why you shouldn't be getting upset with your mom and daddy. Well, my mom won't this and my daddy won't that. Your mom and dad only serve as a means for you to get here into the earth. Amen. You came from God. God looked down and chose who your mom and daddy would be. It won't you, well, I think I'm going to have a baby now. I'm 26 years old, so I'll have a baby. I'm going to wait till I'm 30 to have another baby. No, you don't make those decisions. It is God that opens the womb. Because God's one opens the womb, then God's the one that gives life. Because God's the one that gives life, then it's not for us to determine when that life ends. It's God who makes that determination, especially when it's an innocent life. Isaiah 49:1 says this: Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name. You call from your mother's womb. From, that's what, no, it's not. Well, you know what? When I graduate from high school, I think I'm going to go off to med school, or I think that I'm going to be an accountant, or I think that I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer. No, no. The Bible said God called you with purpose from the day you were placed in your mother's womb. God knew what you're going to be then. God said, I got purpose for you. And the only way you can understand the purpose God has for your life is that you find God. It's like God said, okay, I got all the answers here. Here they are. But the only way you can get those answers, you got to go to him. And a lot of us, we're going the opposite direction. direction. You know what? I'm placing my emphasis on my education. You know what? I'm placing my emphasis on who I know and trying to make good relationships with somebody who's in an influential position instead of realizing, no, you need to place your emphasis on knowing who God is. For when you know who God is, then you know the purpose that God placed you in the earth. Amen. And let me say this here to your parents. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You don't know that child's purpose in life. You may think, well, I want my child to be a baseball player. I want my child to be a football player. I want my child to be a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist. But God said your role is to train him up in the things of God. And God knows the purpose he has for that child. But the only way that child can realize his purpose in life is that that child be introduced to Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, that he would know what his true purpose is. So all you folks that are going through life, and I don't know what I want to be. I want to be this. I don't know what I want to be. The reason why you don't know, because you don't know Christ Jesus. When you know Christ, he'll let you know what he wants you to be. But the thing about when God lets you know what he wants you to be, don't try to be what somebody else is. Be what God has called you to be. Amen. Isaiah 4:9-5 says, now saith the Lord that formed thee from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of our Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And now, saith the Lord, that formed thee from the womb. It's all throughout the Bible. You find the New Testament. You find the same thing happening right there in the New Testament. You find that Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus, our Lord. When he comes to Elizabeth, and the baby leaps in the womb, that life is there. God know that that child is whose beginning was from of old. That child of our place in that womb, and that child's not a life that you should take away. You know, a lot of them say, "Well, you know what? But you don't understand. I got all these children, and me having all these children, I mean, how can I take care of them? If I have another child, I can't take care of this other child. And what am I supposed to do? The man gave me the baby, then he left me. And I'm left here all by myself to raise this child." You know what I say to you? I say what David said in Psalms 37 and 25. And when you see, go there and you see what David said there, then they should give every mother hope who thinks that I can't make it, I can't do this thing on my own, I can't make this thing on my own. Let's see what David said right here. "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God said that when you are righteous, when you give your heart to the Lord, yes, you may think it's rough. Yes, you may think it's tough. Yes, you may think, well, how am I going to make it? But David said, "I was once young, but now I'm old." David said, "I've lived life. I've seen this thing. I'm not just some Johnny come lately trying to tell you something, but I'm telling you something that I have experienced. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread." But you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but God does. And all God is asking you to do, trust in the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe on his name and watch him take care of you and yours. And see, you know, folks talking on there, how they have, I mean, like I said, my family was 12 children. And a lot of times we had more than that running through the house. And my mom, half the time, she won't work because she was having babies. And a lot of times, you know, my dad didn't have the best paying jobs. He was a truck driving. Sometimes we're doing janitorial work. But I'm here to tell you that all they did, the little money they had, we never went to bed hungry. We never got set out. Never got the lights turned off. Why? Because they knew how to trust God. They knew that what David said is a fact. "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread." No, we may not have eaten steak every night. No, we may not have filet mignon. But I'm telling you what we did have. We had the love of God being taught in our house. And it was the love of God being taught in our house that kept us together, that allowed us to grow old and see a good life. Why? Because of their trust in God. So those say, "No, but you don't understand. That young girl, she can't make it." No, you don't understand. Man, he left her with that child all by himself. No, you don't understand. What I do understand is what God's word says. And God said he never seen the righteous forsaken.
That's right.
nor the seed begging bread. God's word is not alive. See, we ask ourselves, do we believe God or do we believe what the world says? Do we believe God or do we believe what the world says? It's important for us to know that the children that God has given to us, that they are the heritage of the Lord. And some of you may say, well, you know what? But I made a mistake. And the sad thing about it, that here in this country, it's a growing phenomenon now. It's a growing thing that there are more and more women having babies out of wedlock now. It's not decreasing, but it's increasing. A lot of people don't see the need to get married. Or they say, well, you know, I'll shack before getting married. You know, well, what's wrong with me giving away my goodness while getting married? You know, and if a baby comes, I deal with the consequences. It's a growing thing. And then when you come to the church, you have this gift because, yes, you may have had an abortion. Like I said, they say the trend where it's going now, so just about a third of every woman in this country will have had an abortion, which is scandalous. Killing those innocent babies. And you say, well, what do you do then if you've done that? See, one thing the Bible says is that God is a forgiving and a loving God. There was this woman that was caught in the act of adultery. When you're caught in the act of adultery, the Bible says you should be stoned to death. You shouldn't live. They brought this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they said that, what should we do with her tempting the Lord Jesus? Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They knew this woman was a sinner, but they were trying to hide behind their sin. And Jesus looked around, and all of them had stones in their hands and dropped them, and they left. He told the woman, woman, where art thou accusers? She said, there are none, Lord. Then he told her, go and sin no more. Yes, you may have messed up. Yes, this woman's caught in an act of adultery. Yes, according to the law, she deserved to die. But thanks be to God, the grace of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, that yes, you may have messed up, but now you can turn that thing around. Bear that baby, bring that baby to fruition. Let that baby grow in you. Nourish that baby, keep that baby, and watch what that baby becomes in your eyes. Bring that baby in the nurture of Christ Jesus. Let them know who Christ Jesus is. Let them know what Christ Jesus can do for them. See, that's the other sad part about it. Some women just want to have a baby. So I heard them say, I just want to have somebody who will love me back. So you have a child who will love you back. And it's fine when he's 2 months old and he's cuckoo. And and it's fine when he's learning how to talk. He's so cute. And it's fine when he's 4 years old and he's dancing. Or she's dancing. Isn't it cute how they dance? But it's not so fine that a child's not 8, 9 years old and you didn't take him to church and the child's talking back to you. Now it's not so fine now when a child 8, 9 years old, you try and get that child to come in off the streets at night. The child's, no, I'm going to start hanging with my friend. You can't tell me what to do. It's not fine now when the child now is getting kicked out of school because the child won't listen to what the teachers say and the child got to just as mouth as the teacher has. And instead of you disciplining that child, you go there, you fighting the teachers. It's not so great now when you're going down to the prison, to the jailhouse to get your son out of jail for being locked up for murder and rape. It's not so fine now. Why? Because you didn't see the need. Yes, you heard what Jesus said about grace and forgiveness, but you didn't go and sin no more. Because you would have sinned no more, you would have took that child to church and kept that child in church. And see, the sad thing about the football, well, you know what? I'm going to try to get an education. Oh, what about education? Get that child to God. Amen. Teaching them out. Well, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be a law. No, I'm not trying to my grandchildren. I want to be prophets. I want to be pastors. I want to be preachers. I want to be evangelists. I want to carry the word of God. Because these other things will come. Amen. Let me tell you, I came up, didn't know anything about investments. Didn't know anything about managing money. Went to work. Wife home, 3 children. Making a way. It's like David said, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. Didn't know anything about investments. Trusting God, talking to the Lord, and God opened up the door for Boom, here's a job for you. Well, you can now work, your wife can now stay home. Got more money than what I needed to take care of all the things I needed, my wife can still stay home. Why? Because God says, Sylvester, because you trusted me, I'm now trusting you with these resources. And you know what? I don't have the same education that everybody else on the job have. You know what? I don't have the same pedigree that others have. My family's not this big name family or that big name family. But one thing I do have, I do know the Lord Jesus, the Savior of my soul. I do know Lord Jesus, the one who gave me confidence and peace. And so even though you may mock me, turn your back on me, long as I got Jesus.
Amen.
And that's enough. When you give me Jesus, then I know that there is a way that I can go, and it doesn't matter what you say about me. Those are the ones who really set the world in amazement and astonishment. When that person they thought could be nothing, and out of that something you thought was nothing, God said, I'm going to take that something, that nothing, and make it into something. Amen. That's because that person said, you know what? We may not have had the best. We may not have the greatest. But I'm going to bring my child up in the church. I'm going to bring my child up to know Christ Jesus. I'm going to bring my child up to know that the Lord is a supply of all his needs or her needs. I'm going to bring this child up so the child never feel like I'm down and out. I don't have nobody with me. Long as you got Jesus on your side, baby, I'm going to tell you, you can make it. Get Jesus and you got enough.
That's right.
Got milk, got Jesus. That's what you need to have, because you got Jesus, you can make it. But I'm here to tell you what they're doing. They're putting all these things out there and confusing these women's minds. Tell them you can do all these things. You know what they say? They say that the wealth gap between Caucasian or white women and black women is getting farther and farther apart. Why is that happening? They said that more than a third of the women now, 30% of the women, of all abortion that are committed in this country, are being committed by African American women. And they're doing it, they said, because so they have a better life. They're doing it now so they can get a better education and career. Well, why then is that gap growing? Why is it still getting wider and wider? Why aren't they catching up? Why are they making inroads? Because it's a lie. The Bible says the ways of a transgressor is hard. There is no way you can go against the word of God and expect to prosper. There is no way you can go against the word of God and expect to be blessed. So folks tell you that lie. Kill that baby. No, yeah, you made a mistake. We all have made a mistake. For the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the thing about it, don't dwell on that mistake. Don't compound that mistake by creating a worse thing. You went out there and had sex. You weren't supposed to have sex. How many of you know you don't have sex till you get married? How many of you know? And if you've had sex before you got married, ask God to forgive you. Say, God, I'm now virgin before you again, God. I'm rededicating my life to you now, Lord God. I'm not going to do this anymore until I get married. Or if you had an abortion, God, I messed up. My child is gone, God. I took an innocent life. Lord, forgive me. Do those things. Get up and walk up in God. Acknowledge and confess your sins to God. And then see what God will do for you. They're killing our babies. They're killing our babies. When I read that stuff and some men twisted the head of the baby. When I read the story of the baby, clipped the baby. I said the baby big enough to walk to the bus with him. Killed the baby. And he said he did it all for money. What is a life worth to you? What is it worth to you? Have we become so self-centered and so focused on ourselves that life in the womb means nothing anymore? How can it happen that we endorse these things and just look the other way? And a lot of folks thought, okay, well, this guy, God Snell in Philadelphia, they thought it was a one-time event, or, you know, it's an isolated event. And now before that trial can get over, now in Texas, men doing the very same thing. And the thing that's happening is destroying the African-American community. Marriage is honorable and all, the bed and the fire. That's the key. You need to all get married. You don't want to have children, get married. But I'm here to tell you, if you get out there and you mess up before you get married, don't kill that child. Amen. That child doesn't have anything to do with the decisions you made.
That's right.
That child didn't tell you to do it or not to do it. That was your own decision. You made that yourself. So don't penalize that child for a decision you made. But I thought he loved me. He loved me. So now I don't want to carry this baby because it reminds me of him. Well, so what? That's the decision you made. You reap what you sow. But the thing I like about this, though, this right here. Because I've messed up. But I thank God through my mess up and turning to God, God had grace upon me. And the same thing I'm saying, God will have grace upon you too. Understand that the God you serve is a God full of mercy and love. We've got to stop this epidemic. We've got to stop the killing of our babies. We've got to start telling others. I don't care who you are. Do what you can do. If somebody told me to go to an abortion clinic, say, I'm going to get that. I'm going to put holes in your tire. If somebody said, go to an abortion clinic, I'm going to block you from going. I'm going to do something because that life in your womb is a precious life. I'm not going to just let you take that child and you come back and just have tea and you say, oh, everything's all right, it's okay. And so now what they've done now, because they realize they're trying to get our young people now, so what they're doing now, they're giving now, they're talking about selling the morning after pill to 15-year-olds and older. So, okay, you went out there and had sex the night before with somebody, and now you wonder, well, if I'm pregnant, so you just go to the drugstore now and buy the morphine pill, and if you are, it can abort that child is starting to form in your womb. How crazy can we be? And as I look at this thing, remember I said earlier, there are two instances where they killed the children. And one instance was with Moses. 80 years later, Moses came back, and the Egyptian army that they prided themselves on was drowned in the Red Sea pursuing after Moses. The time of Christ Jesus was when he was born. Herod sent out a decree that all children 2 years and younger should be killed. 70 A.D., the temple, the pride of Jerusalem, was destroyed and torn down, and the Jews put out of the promised land. What am I saying? It seems like there's about an 80-year cycle for things to come full circle. Because I was with Moses. Moses was 80 years old when he came back to revisit Egypt. 70 A.D., was the time, and they say the time of Christ's birth, some say around 4 to 6 B.C. So it's about 74, 76 years from that decree to the time that actually happened. So about 80-year period. So what we find and see happening here now, that about that amount of time that you find judgment taking place. So when Roe v. Wade legalized this country, 1973, we just celebrated 40 years. So is God going to give us another 40 years before we visit judgment? I don't know what God is going to do, but I do know this right here. God is going to visit judgment for the taking of innocent lives. Over 1 million babies being aborted a year. God is going to visit judgment for taking innocent lives. These are lies. These are babies. These are boys. These are girls. It could have been doctors, lawyers. These are people who could have had cures, could have invented things. These are people whose lives were snuffed out simply because somebody was too selfish to think about those babies. They're killing the babies. They're killing the babies. And how could you, as a president of a country, give and dare celebrate the killing of those innocent babies in the womb? How can you do it? How can you do it? God is going to hold this country in account for the babies that have been killed. They haven't harmed anybody. Haven't touched anybody. Didn't do anything wrong to anybody. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. And read Jeremiah once again. We're going to see what God says about this. Jeremiah 1 and 4 says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before Jeremiah was even born, God said, I formed you. Every child, every one of you in here came from God. And for you to truly understand your purpose and your destiny, you've got to go back to God. You wonder why you're so frustrated in life? When my things aren't going your way in life? Ask yourself, Lord, have I really given my life back to you? You were the one that created me. You were the one that made me. You were the one that gave me my mommy and daddy. You the one chose out my brothers and my sisters. You chose them out. I didn't make that choice, God. God, you made that choice. And God, since you made that choice and gave me the people in my life that I have, then God, you must know more about me than I know about myself. So God, you know how I can function in that environment, how I can function in that kind of creation. God, you are the one that I need to go to so that I can understand my purpose. And every child in the mother's womb has that same right. Amen. They're killing the babies. Let us rise up, cry loud, lift up our voices like a trumpet in Zion. Show God's people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob, they're seeing. They're killing the babies. But we're going to be the ones that cry out against them. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.